Never.
Sadhu.
Good.
Mene.
Thought.
Taha.
Them.
Sarva.
All.
Bhutale.
On this earth.
Yavatehi.
All kinds of.
Puraha.
Residential houses.
Kaman.
Objects for sense enjoyment.
Kamayamanaha.
Desiring.
Asau.
That king.
Tasha.
His.
Tasha.
His.
Upapattaye.
For obtaining. Translation. King Puranjana had unlimited desires for sense enjoyment. Consequently, he traveled all over the world just to find a place where all of his desires could be fulfilled. Unfortunately, he found a feeling of insufficiency everywhere. You can repeat. King Puranjana had unlimited desires for sense enjoyment. Consequently, he traveled all over the world to find a place where all his desires could be fulfilled. Unfortunately, he found a feeling of insufficiency everywhere. So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Vidyapati, a great Vaishnava poet, has sung, Tattala sakkaite vare bindu samma suta metta rammati sammaje. Material sense gratification with society, friendship, and love is herein compared to a drop of water falling on a desert. A desert requires oceans of water to satisfy it. And if only a drop of water is supplied, what is its use? Similarly, the living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is stated in the Vedanta Sutra, is Anandamayo Vyasat, full of enjoyment. Being part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity is also seeking complete enjoyment. However, complete enjoyment cannot be achieved separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In his wanderings in the different species of life, the living entity may taste some type of enjoyment in one body or another, but full enjoyment of the senses cannot be obtained in any material body. Thus, Puranjana, the living entity, wanders in different types of bodies, but everywhere meets frustration in his attempt to enjoy. In other words, the spiritual spark covered by matter cannot fully enjoy the senses in any circumstances in material life. A deer may be absorbed in the musical sounds vibrated by the hunter, but the result is that it loses its life. Similarly, a fish is very expert in gratifying its tongue, but when it eats the bait offered by the fisherman, it loses its life. Even the elephant, who is so strong, is captured and loses its independence while gratifying its genitals with a female elephant. In each and every species of life, the living entity gets a body to satisfy various senses. But he cannot enjoy all his senses at one time. In the human form of life, he gets an opportunity to enjoy all of his senses pervertedly. But the result is that he becomes so harassed in his attempted sense gratification that he ultimately becomes morose. As he tries to satisfy his senses more and more, he becomes more and more entangled. Sarumeneta sarva mutale yavati putha kaman kamayumhano sau tasya tasya upapataye saumaganacha padandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshuddha Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So what's being described here is the passionate attempt to enjoy this world. There's attempts to enjoy this world in the mode of goodness, in the mode of passion, and in the mode of ignorance. In the mode of goodness, basically, one doesn't attempt to enjoy this world. One attempts to enjoy by getting out of this world. That's one thing. In the mode of passion, one tries to enjoy this world by experiencing different varieties. Like Prabhupada would say, variety is the mother of enjoyment. Like if you're doing the same thing every day, it gets boring. If you watch the same movie over and over again, it gets boring. If you hear the same song over and over again, it gets boring. If you see the same husband or wife every day, it gets boring. It's not exciting anymore, right? It's just boring. What can I say? And therefore, Krishna says in the Gita that happiness in the mode of passion is like nectar in the beginning and then like poison at the end. It's like nectar, like that, the initial romantic thing. It's just like, it's just so much nectar. But then after a while, people are arguing and killing each other and just like, at least, or at best, tolerating each other after some time. It's just like, you know, or any of this happiness, like having little children, like that, it's just so nice to see a little kid pop out, you know, and so cute and everything like that. But then after a while, I just wish they would shut up after a while. You know, I want to get on to do something interesting in life. So that's passion. And then in the mode of ignorance, it's miserable from the beginning to the end. So what's being described here is happiness in the mode of passion, where one is just looking all over the place for newer and newer experiences, different type of food. That's why they have different ethnic restaurants. You know, people will say, let's go out and eat Chinese tonight. Not eat Chinese people, but eat Chinese food. It's interesting. How that when you abbreviate it sounds like you're to eat a person. Let's eat Chinese tonight. Let's eat Italian tonight. So, you know, there's Italian food, Chinese food. You know, there's variety. And if you give someone the same food every day, it's just like they're miserable. So that shows the food is not the source of enjoyment. It's just the variety, you know, the illusion that there's something different or something new or something better out there. Whereas if you give someone in the mode of goodness the same food every day, it makes his life very peaceful. He eats the same thing every day at the same time, you know, regulation, same time, same food, does the same thing every day. And for someone in the mode of passion, that's extremely boring. Like you get up from Mangalarti every day. And that's why we see people have trouble, you know, they can join the movement and then they can get up for Mangalarti, you know, for a while. And after a while, it sort of peters out. After a while, they're getting up a little late for Mangalarti. After a while, they're getting up after Mangalarti. After a while, they're coming for Bhagavatam class. After a while, they're coming to greet the deities. And after a while, they come to the Sunday feast. And after a while, they come on Janmashtami. And after a while, not even that. Because it's just like, you know, Janmashtami, I've been there, seen it, done it. You know, we've already worshipped Krishna. We swung him on his swing already. You know, how many millions of times? I've chanted Hare Krishna how many millions of times in my beads? It's boring. It's just really boring. I'm not saying for me it's boring. But that's, you know, that's in the mode of passion. So they have to keep like doing new things every day, or changing their schedule. You know, one day they stay up till midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. The next day they get exhausted and take rest early. Isn't that? I mean, just like that. I mean, you see that with devotees, even, you know, aspiring neophyte devotees, and they just can't stick to a schedule. And the schedule makes the mind very peaceful, but they don't want to be peaceful because there's no happiness in peace for one in the mode of passion. It's just like, you know, because there's always the expectation. It's always the donkey chasing after the carrot. That's passion. So anyway, so therefore the living entity is not only traveling all over the world, but, you know, changing his diet every day, changing his schedule every day, buying, like the ladies, they buy new clothes, isn't it? You ladies, you buy new clothes. And you end up with someone like Imelda Marcos, who had like, what is it, 10,000 pairs of shoes. Something like that. I forget. You know, thousands at least. I don't know the exact number. I never stopped to count. Or you have ladies with the closet full, you know, walk-in closet full of different outfits, you know, matching this, matching that. And then every year they got to get it, not every year, but every few days another outfit, and they go shop. And they love to window shop. That's passion, right? Like you go into the malls here, you know, all the malls, and you'll see the ladies. You know, the men, they're exercising, the old men, because it's too hot during the day. So the men put on their jogging shoes and exercise back and forth. You ever seen that in the malls? Especially during the summer when it's just too hot. You know, that's where the, you know, people are just going back and forth and exercising. But the women are not going back and forth and exercising usually. They're exercising their eyes. You know, focusing, refocusing. And looking at, you know, they're going in front of, I mean, it's just amazing. All these designer clothes, like Neiman Marcus or something. I forget. Anyway, designer glasses. I mean, you go into the airport, and there's whole sections where they're selling different types of sunglasses for people. And they're making money. You know, they wouldn't be there if they weren't making money. You know, different sunglasses, different dresses, different... of course, then saris, you know, women go to India. I'm not just trying to criticize women. Men have problems, too. So they go to India, and then they spend all their time at Lloyd Bazaar or the Delhi Sari Wala shop. And men don't like that. You know, there's a difference between men and women. Like the men, if they have to shop, it's like torture because they don't get that enjoyment from that. But they have other types of things, you know, they like. They'll look at the latest computer, or they'll read the news, or they'll read the sports page. Women can't stand the sport page, you know. Is it? I mean, it's just like, huh? What is so-and-so's batting average? You know, 305, you know, so-and-so has a batting average. What kind of nonsense is that, they're thinking? Everybody has a different type of Maya. But it's still going after the different variety. Like that, you know, if I have to watch a baseball game or a football game, it's just the same old stupid thing all the time. But someone in the mode of passion, fortunately I'm not in the mode of passion, but someone in the mode of passion really likes that because they think it's going to be different this time. How is it going to be different? Somebody takes a bat and hits a ball, and what's different? I mean, sometimes it goes to right field or left field or center field or over the fence. It's a home run, for those of you who don't know what that means. Or sometimes it was a ground ball or something like that. And he's out at first base. I mean, there's only a certain number of things that can occur in baseball, right? You know, this team wins. You know, but it's just like there's a variety. You're thinking it's variety, but it's actually not variety. It's really the same old, same old. So we're making all these attempts to enjoy this variety. Now, it's not necessarily bad that we have a desire to enjoy variety, because these different modes of nature are reflections of things in the spiritual world. So the attempt to enjoy variety is there because in the spiritual world there is infinite variety. It's not just stereotypical activities. You know, if you just like you have these cards, you know, like you send to your lover on Valentine's Day, and so, you know, you send it to your lover on Valentine's Day, and it's stereotypical because it fits like 10 million people, isn't it? You know, like I buy a card for my mother. I don't have any lovers except for Krishna, but I buy a card, or someone else buys a card for my mother, and it fits. Because it's it's not that I had the card specially made for me. You know, I ordered it from Hallmark Cards. And they, you know, they're specially made with my particular individual sentiments for my mother. But it's a card that, of course, there's many different cards, I understand. You have a choice. But it's a limited choice. And at least one of them will fit. And my mother will get the card and say, how did you know, you know, I was feeling like this. Oh, you have such good sentiments. And I just think it's just something we bought in the store. Nothing original. So the desire for variety is really good because in the spiritual world, there is variety. Material world is not really variety. You've seen it, been there, done it, as we mentioned yesterday. But in the spiritual world, it's just something different all the time. Every day you wake up, it's going to be different. You don't know what, and the emotional expressions and intensities and things like that, is just it's so different every day. And, of course, Krishna arranges through his yogamaya potency that, in one sense, because you're so absorbed in the particular relationship with Krishna, you don't think about what happened the day before. That's another reason why you don't get bored in the spiritual world. Like it's mentioned in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that one day Akrura comes to take Krishna to Mathura, and then Krishna comes back, and then a few days later the same thing happens again. But it's not the same thing exactly in the same way. There's different variety. So we shouldn't think, as we're reading Krishna book, for example, that every time Krishna is in Vrindavan, all the pastimes take place exactly in the same way. There's a lot of variety. You know, sometimes Ravana, for example, may kidnap Sita from the Dandakaranya forest. Other times he may kidnap Maya Sita from the palace. You know, there's different ways that these things can happen. Infinite variety in these pastimes. So our desire to enjoy variety is good, although we're looking in the wrong place for variety. We're looking for Baskin-Robbins. You know Baskin-Robbins? Different flavors of ice cream. Or we're looking in, if we're artists or interested in art, we're going to the Guggenheim in New York and looking at different types of artwork, modern art, Picasso, whatever, Rothko. You know, I remember going through the museums in New York with my mother. She would force me to go, drag me by my ear. And we're looking at all these varieties. They're just so boring. Who cares what some conditioned soul put down on canvas? But, you know, somehow or other we care about that because we think we're going to eke some enjoyment. So we should concentrate on Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world. And then that, once we have on our internal life with all this different variety, we can be anywhere in the material world, be doing the same thing every day, eating the same thing every day. Actually, the proof that someone is experiencing ecstasy or internal life is that one can eat the same thing every day and not get bored. Interesting, isn't it? They can eat the same thing. And because it's not really important what you're eating. I mean, just like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would take all the prasadam that was given to him and mix it all together. That's the sweets and the sours and the vegetables and the dal. Can you imagine doing that? I mean, we're so much into variety. Just like someone said to me the other day, a devotee said to them, please bring the Shrikhand to me. I can't live without Shrikhand. Please bring this sweet rice and that sweet rice to me. I can't live without it because if I don't have it, I will get weak. Well, actually, if you do eat too much of it, you will get weak. That's the point. Anyway, so a devotee eats, getting back to the eating process, a devotee eats to keep the body going. He doesn't live to eat. He eats to live. There's a difference. But most of us are living to eat. Do you understand? Looking forward, you know, to the latest taste, like that. So, anyway, so the proof that someone is experiencing the internal variety is that he can be very regulated in his eating and his sleeping, just like it mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. that a yogi is very regulated in his eating. Mityahara viharasya. He's moderate. Mitya means he's moderate, middle. He's regulated his eating and sleeping. He goes to sleep the same time every day. Unless there's a Janmashtami, of course. That's a different thing. Then he stays up. So he goes to sleep. He eats the same thing. Dresses pretty much the same way. Of course, you ladies can have different colors. That's all right. We don't mind. So it's just like pretty much the same thing. She doesn't have to have like 10 million sets of earrings and nose rings and spend 3 hours in front of the mirror decorating the deity in the morning. Isn't it? Or just, you know, two or three sets of glasses, not thousands of sets of glasses. It's funny. One watch. I mean, sometimes I see these advertisements in the airline magazines of how people have to have a big case for their watches. They have to have matching watches. Can you imagine, you know, matching watches for this outfit, matching watches for that outfit? I mean, ladies can appreciate that. But for me, I just have one watch for each outfit, all the outfits. You know, it's just some Casio, you know. It's not even a Seiko or what to speak of, a Rolex. It's just like, you know, it's functional. So that's a devotee. He's functional in the material world. Of course, he or she can dress up if there's some nice preaching occasion like that's required. Obviously, they can comb their hair if they have it. But, of course, you have the sages who are just, like, so disinterested in even the hair business. They have matted locks. And just so they'd be even more disinterested, they take the sap from the trees and, you know, just, like, rub it into their hair. Yuck. That would be gooey, isn't it? Can you imagine that? And the hair is just, like, all over the place. I mean, sometimes you see these Hindi movies and people have such nice, combed hair. I mean, it's just like, look at the sages. It's just like they must have spent, like, 3 hours. Because they have longer hair than the women. I've seen sometimes these Hindi movies, like the Ramayana and everything like that, and their beards are so nicely trimmed and hair combed. But, you know, it was not like that. The sages didn't spend all, you know, 3 hours a day in front of the mirror. It was generally, you know, all over the place, their hair. So the point is, let's get back to the point. The point is we have to experience spiritual variety. And so, but even within spiritual variety, there's types of spiritual variety that fit us according to our spiritual nature, which is interesting. Just like it's mentioned here in the verse, that King Paranjana went all over the place, did all these different stupid things, and he always found a feeling of insufficiency everywhere. Well, spiritually, too, that we have a particular rasa, relationship with Krishna, and when we're engaged in that meditation on that particular relationship, we will feel a feeling of sufficiency. And even spiritually, if we try to put a square peg in a round peg in a square hole, try to fit ourselves in a position we're not really in, we're not going to be happy even when one comes to the platform of pure devotional service. And the examples of that, there's several examples I'm going to give. One is Murari Gupta, the great associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Murari Gupta was, of course, considered to be an incarnation of Hanuman. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried to get to convince him to become absorbed in Radha and Krishna. And so Radha and Krishna and Sita Ram, they're the same. There's no difference. But there's a difference in expression or a difference in mood. So he tried his best. Lord Chaitanya said, you know, chant Hare Krishna with Sita Ram, they're expansions of Radha and Krishna. So you just chant Hare Krishna, here's your beads, come on, sit down, Prabhu. And just go, Hare Krishna, Radha Krishna, Pranamoy, Yugalap, Kishore. And he tried. Same way Anupama, the brother of Rupa, Sanatana, they tried. They had good instruction. They tried, but it just didn't fit. They found a feeling of insufficiency. In other words, they weren't able to connect in that particular way. You understand? They weren't able to connect. So everybody has their connection. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you have Hanuman, who is coming in contact with Narada Muni, and Hanuman realizes that the Pandavas' relationship with Krishna is in one sense higher than his relationship, at least a more developed rasa. That's, I don't want to use the term higher and lower, but it's more developed in terms of the rasa. Narada Muni says, let's go see the Pandavas, and Hanuman says, no, I'm just too attached to Lord Ramchandra, to worshiping Lord Ramchandra here. So it really, one has a particular relationship that it's very important to understand that relationship, even spiritually. It may be beyond us at this particular time, but that's really a case. Like you have the story of Gopakumar, which is the second part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Gopakumar got, first of all, he got all sorts of material amenities as well as engagement in devotional service. He became a king, became the king of Jagannath Puri. He was able to organize all the worship there, which is devotional service. Became Indra and was able to do devotional service as Indra. Even had Lord Vamana as his brother. And he still felt a feeling of insufficiency. Then he became Lord Brahma, and he still felt insufficient. How many of us would feel insufficient if we were Lord Brahma? You know, you feel great. You know, I'm in charge of the whole universe. This is my party, this universe. And, you know, whatever goes on in this universe, it's under me. I'm the most powerful person, the most intelligent person in this universe. So even as Lord Brahma, he felt insufficient. And then he goes to, in between he went to other planets too, like where the sages would just meditate instead of do active service, and he felt insufficient, even though he could see the form of the Lord. And then eventually he went to Vaikuntha, and he saw the four-armed form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he felt insufficient there. He went to Ayodhya, he felt insufficient there. So until because he was always hankering for his relationship with Krishna in Vrindavan. He was very attached to Vrindavan. Even you see the Brajavasis, when Krishna left Vrindavan, it's not that they all left Vrindavan and went to Dwarka with him. Of course, in one sense they did, as their expansions like Satyabhama, Rukmini, and Jambavati and all the other queens. That's another thing. But they were attached to Vrindavan because that was their locale for doing service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So each and every one of us, what I'm just trying to present to you is sort of a coming attraction in devotional service. That each and every one of us has a certain position in the spiritual world. And as you advance, or let's say if you advance, to be more precise, if you're fortunate enough to advance, then you start to realize and then you feel comfortable in that internal, that's before you leave this world, that's when you have your perfect, but you haven't yet left this world and joined Krishna in the spiritual world. But you have your internal life going on, so you feel very comfortable in that internal life. And so the external world, as Krishna describes, you perceive as when the body is doing this, doing that, you see that you're not doing anything. It's just like the body's on automatic. It's like a pilot in an airplane who puts his airplane on automatic pilot, and then he sits down and works on his computer the same time. Of course, pilots have gotten in trouble doing that, too. There's some stories that some pilots, they were having some discussion, put the pilot on automatic pilot, and they put the plane on automatic pilot, and then the plane overshot their destination, and the control tower was calling them, you know, where are you? You know, what are you doing? Like there was this one TV show in the 1950s, Car 54, Where Are You? I don't know if any of you remember that. You know, they're a bunch of space cadets. Policemen were a bunch of space cadets. So, you probably don't know about that. No, thank God. A different generation. So the plane overshot. So we don't want to be that much absorbed in Krishna consciousness internally that, you know, we happen to walk off the balcony one day, or we have to just happen to mismanage in this mature world. But there has to be, we have to live in both worlds. Then we'll become detached. That's where detachment comes from. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. Janayati Asubhairagyam Gyanam Chayara Haitakam. That you're so much absorbed in the real world, the spiritual world, but you're also attentive to what you're doing in this world because you're doing it for Krishna. Otherwise, you have no interest in this world. That is real renunciation, real detachment. Anyway, so these are some of the points we could make here. You have to find... Also, yeah, just one other point. In addition to finding your position in the spiritual realm, which ultimately we hopefully will do, you have to find work with Krishna, work for Krishna according to your psychophysical nature. That's Varnashram. Like Arjuna was told by Krishna, if you don't fight for me, you'll be forced to fight by your nature. So two things have to be there. We have to engage our body according to its nature. Our body and mind, you know, this material stuff, Panchamahabhuta, has a specific nature. We should be able to identify that nature and engage it accordingly. And if we're not, we're going to feel insufficient too. We're going to feel insufficient. So what is the nature? Some of you may have the nature of being pujaris. Some of you may have the nature of being managers. Some of you may have the nature of being technicians. Some of you may have the nature of being studious. So understand the nature. So there's that also material aspect of feeling sufficient or fulfilled or happy while we're in the body. It's not, I don't want to give the impression that you just like float off into never, never land with your internal absorption. But the body also has to be properly or practically engaged in Krishna's service. So any questions or comments? We've got about 4 minutes, 3 minutes. Yeah. What?
It's like fighting city hall, you know? You understand that expression?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, where is it the point of, this is Krishna arrangement, I can just make your best?
Well, externally we accept things as Krishna's arrangement, but internally we really do have some control over our, what's happening inside. Just like I may find myself in a hovelum, and my relationship may be with Radha and Krishna, but you can have this separation or the dichotomy between both things. Yeah. They have to go inside. People have a certain psychophysical nature, and that psychophysical nature can be engaged in any location. The location doesn't need to change, or if they're doing something, let's say if your psychophysical nature is not to do deity worship, let's give that example or something. But you want to just like study all the time. Then while you're doing deity worship, you put on an MP3 so you could listen to some philosophy. So there's ways to get around that. I mean, even using technology. So you're listening to philosophy, you're taking care of the deities, and you're listening to philosophy at the same time, if that happens to be your nature. Or if you don't like cooking, but somehow or other you find your responsibility is cooking, then you listen to philosophy at the same time, or you... But once we develop our internal relationship, And of course, we're all attracted to a certain aspect of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. That doesn't mean what we're attracted to now is what we're going to be attracted to eternally. I mean, for example, when I was a new devotee, I was very attracted to the coward boys and their relationship with Krishna. That doesn't mean, even though I thought I was a coward boy because I was attracted to it, it doesn't mean I was or I am. So whatever we're attracted to, use that attraction to just increase or encourage that attraction internally. That's really important. Whatever it doesn't mean you have to be such a great devotee. You know, I may be attracted to Krishna killing people because I, you know, previously I was engaged in sports or something. I wasn't, but I mean, I'm just giving an example. So utilize even your material nature may give you the tendency to be attracted to certain aspects of Krishna's pastimes. That's all right. There's no harm in that. Don't think it's your eternal spiritual nature. It's just, it'll be an impetus for you to be absorbed in certain aspects of Krishna's pastimes. Develop that internal life. And then externally, we can always balance things and make adjustments and things like that. Just like myself, I have to exercise every day. Don't have to, but I decide to exercise every day. So for me, that's extremely boring. But instead, you know, I put on some Prabhupada. Anyone who sees me drive the bike, you know, I put on Prabhupada chanting. So I'm absorbed in Prabhupada at the same time. So I've actually utilized technology, used my intelligence, so my mind is engaged, even though I'm doing something that normally would be completely driving me crazy. Like just exercising. At least I'm not exercising in one place with a standalone bike. That really drives you crazy. When I have to do that, then I watch a video of the Ramayana, you know. So, we have to go. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.